Welcome back to Here's the Thing. I'm Brianna Janelle.
And I am Mark Cotton. And today,
we are talking about New Age spirituality and how it has crept up in the church body. Whew. It needs to be talked about.
It does. About to say, we're going to call everything out.
Yeah.
Get offended.
Okay. Anyways.
We're not here to bash anybody's church. We're not here to make people feel bad. We're not here to throw shade on anybody. But what we are here to do is, again, bring truth. And we want to make sure that people know what you're dabbling in. It's dangerous. Like, you know, and God is not pleased, like, with some of the things that we decide to dabble in.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So I guess to get started, to kick us off, I have a question for you. Have you ever been asked, what's your sign?
You know I've been asked what my sign.
Really?
I'm about to say, I'm a Gemini. I'm about to say, like, you know, I used to really, like,
yeah,
like, rep Gemini. Like, it was like a
part of your identity.
Absolutely, it was. Mm-hmm. I'm about to say, like, you know, and it was interesting because you always associated yourself with the good things in the trait, and then the bad things about you, you justified through.
Yes.
And you didn't make any room to say, I should change this, because we were easily able to just say,
This is just who I am. Yeah.
I'm about to say, so I haven't asked what my sign is. I
think it's like, I know people, even when you're like meeting people and dating people, I know a lot of people will ask what their sign is just to go look them up to see if they're compatible.
Right.
You know?
As if when you were born lets me know whether or not we can be together or not.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird behavior. And to be honest, like I said, I was a part of it.
Me too.
Like,
my mom had like thick horoscope book with like the moon signs and just all the things.
Well, I wasn't that deep into it. I'm about to say, it was just cool to be known as this, known as that. I didn't understand the cusp and, like, you know, like, yeah. Oh, you're right on this. Like, oh,
yeah.
I don't understand why it was broken down, the way it was broken down.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you all the zodiac signs. I knew, I guess, the main ones, like mine. Scorpio,
okay,
like Leo, and then Cancer, like, you know, but other than that, like, you know, like, oh, I'm a Sagittarius. I can't tell you what month that is.
Okay. So you wasn't that deep. I know. No. I would look at the horoscopes, because this is like back in the day, and this could be aging myself just a tiny bit, not that I'm not that old, but like, because I don't know if people do magazines like that, but I used to get like the 17 magazines delivered. And in the back, they would always have like horoscopes for that month.
Wow.
Yeah. And I like would go look them up and everything. But
that's definitely showing your age.
A little bit. Because we have social media now. I don't know if people do like magazines anymore.
I don't know when the last time I've ever seen somebody with a subscription to a magazine.
Know, right.
But I mean, but yeah. So like, you know.
But even with you not even knowing.
Right.
A whole lot about it. You're still familiar. And I think that that just speaks to how much it is embedded in our culture.
Absolutely. And I think the issue is when we find more identity in that than we do in what God has called us to be. Like, it was literally a thing where you would associate yourself only with certain people based upon their sign.
Yeah.
Based upon the stars and all these random things. It's like, yo, like, I used to love, like I said, I love being a Gemini. I named my dog Gemini. Like, you know, like, it was a password to my email at one point in time. Like,
being
a Gemini was, it was just a cool name.
A badge of honor.
Right. Saying, then when you find other people that are Geminis, like, you know,
it's like kinship. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that the issue with that is I trust it more in that than anything else.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So were you... I mean, I know you said your mom had a book. Were you dabbling in?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I would look at the magazines. I was in the book. And, you know, it's really interesting. I think that a lot of people are naturally, we just like to learn new information. And
right.
Especially if things seem to make sense of what you're going through or, you know, what might be coming up, things like that. So I definitely see the appeal.
And I remember when people used to, like, you know, have their daily morning post.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, according to astrology.
Yes.
It's like, come on, guys.
Yes.
Like, this is, all this is trying to imitate the Bible.
Right,
like,
right.
It's trying to give you an affirmation for the day or whatever case is, the same way that scripture does that.
Well, before we get too deep in there.
Sure.
I think we need to, like, define what New Age spiritualism, Lord, I can't talk today.
Yeah, that's it.
Is.
And I think that, like, you know, with that being said, there are a lot of new age things happening. And I think that some people may not know necessarily, one, what new age is and then what they are. So if you could define what new age is for these people so they know what we're talking about.
So new age spirituality is really like an umbrella term for it's like a religious movement, but okay. It's a religious movement that doesn't have like one religion. It's kind of like open, where there isn't just one way to spirituality. Okay. So you kind of open yourself up to, you can dabble with a little bit of this, a little bit of this. It definitely has occultic roots.
Can you give some examples of that? So that way we kind of know like what, I think that's like a fair definition.
Yeah. And like I said, it's an umbrella term for a lot of different things. So right. Things you may find in new age spirituality is the use of crystals, the tarot card readings, horoscopes and astrology. Mm. I'm trying to think. Usually yoga.
Okay. Sage.
Saging your house. Yes.
Incense. What are they like when you're burning things? That is sage.
Yeah, like the okay. When you're smudging.
Tarot cards. Psychics.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got?
All of that is kind of under that new age umbrella.
And we're seeing that in the church?
I think that there, yeah. Yeah, I think that there are a lot of proclaiming Christians who dabble with a lot of that stuff. And it's a lot of mixture going on. So even kind of how we were talking about the horoscope things, right? It seems harmless. It seems like what's wrong with that. But kind of how you inferred about it earlier, where you kind of find your identity in that and not in Christ.
Yeah.
So you take more, you put more weight on what the horoscope says about you than you do what God says about you. And
right.
Even you might not even, it sounds bad to say, but you might not even care to inquire about what God says about you if this horoscope and everything, whatever surrounded it, already does it for you.
Right.
You know, and then even how you were saying that you wake up in the morning and check the horoscope
thing.
To see what the day is going to hold, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, things like that.
Right.
Instead of waking up and spending time with Holy Spirit, who allowing him to direct your day.
Yeah.
It's a replacement. And I think that it's easy to think that you can have both.
I think the issue becomes when people look at it like it's harmless. Like, mm-hmm. It's just, like you said, it's a cultural thing. It's just what, like, you know, we do. We, like, you know, we find ourselves listening to rappers, artists, whatever the case is, that involve themselves in these things. And then they also so happen to be proclaiming Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So now we look at it and we kind of demean what it is. And we don't look at it like it's witchcraft. We don't look like it.
Right.
Look at it like it's, like, satanic. We look at it like it's just culture. And in reality, it's detrimental to your soul.
Yeah, it definitely can be. I think one thing that I have seen in churches, not any that I've ever attended, not any that I currently attend, obviously, but they'll offer yoga classes or, you know, have it be a part of the youth ministry.
Yeah.
And yoga is really, it has roots in an entirely different religion, in Hinduism.
Right. But people just look at it like it's just stretching.
And
like,
it's not just stretching. Like, the word yoga means to yoke. And even when it comes to the chakras that are a part of yoga, right?
Yeah.
And opening your chakras and things like that. Each chakra is tied to a deity.
Wow.
Now, in Western culture, I think it's mostly seen as like having seven chakras that kind of go up your spine and, you know, through your body or whatever.
Yeah.
But in like Hinduism, there could be, I think, 5, 7, 9, 10, 12, 21. It's like a up to 21 different chakras.
Okay.
But again, that's because each one is tied to a deity and it just kind of it's based on what you believe.
I guess
if that makes sense.
Yeah. So my question would just be, because I've heard that, like, you know, certain poses that you do in yoga are, like, you know,
yes,
representation of certain gods.
They're greeting certain gods and things like that. So, again, why are we doing that in the church?
Right. And why do we deem it as harmless?
Because it has been marketed to us as exercise. And I think that we, I've also often heard the term of we can redeem certain things.
Yeah.
You know, and we can redeem yoga, but no, you can't. Like, it's,
oh, like you can change the meaning of
it. Yes, like you can make yoga, Christian yoga, and instead of saying we're open to the universe, you can say, you know, Jesus, we welcome you.
Yeah, I never
instead
heard
of
that
universe, we'll welcome you. And so, and some things are not redeemable. Like, that is a
theirs.
Part of their religion, right?
Right. I was about to say, I don't want nobody to take the cross or take
and
Jesus and say
it,
like, oh, well, we're gonna make Jesus redeemable for Buddhists. Like,
actually, they
Do. I about to say,
and not Buddhists, but a part of the New Age spirituality is believing in what we would deem as a false Christ, right? They believe in Jesus, but they believe he was an ascended master or, yeah, you know, this person who had all this knowledge and was trying to bring it to the world. And, you know, Christians mistook it as him being, you know, this deity and things like that. So, yeah, they change a whole bunch of stuff.
And I think it's just really unfortunate when our eyes aren't open to the truth of what something is, because we really, I think the biggest problem in Christian culture is that we say this terminology is not that deep.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that deep. It's probably the most detrimental statement that you can make in as being a Christian, because at the end of the day, it is that deep.
Yeah.
And I think that what Satan is trying to get us to think is that it's not that deep. It don't take all that. You're thinking too deep into it. It don't, like, and I think that if he can get us to downplay and overlook something, he secretly can get you to worship it. Because yeah, what you're doing is your lifestyle is as unto God.
Yes.
So if you just think that it's just a casual, oh, it's just, I'm just stretching. It's like Satan has fooled you into thinking that what you're doing is not detrimental. And this is why I love, even if you like think nothing of it, I love how the Bible says, when we're talking about Gideon, the Bible says that before Gideon even gets cooking, God tells him, hey, go destroy your father's idols. When you begin to overlook these New Age practices that you're involved with, what they secretly become are idols to you.
Yeah.
They become things that replace the essence of who God is in your life. Again, like you said, we go to zodiac signs for our identity, but you should be going to God for your identity.
Right.
So now you have made your zodiac sign an idol because you've allowed your zodiac sign to tell you who you are before even confronting Holy Spirit about, yo, who is it that you say I am? So now God says, I am unable to use you until you destroy the things in your life that take my place, that sit on my throne. And when we ask ourselves, man, what is really taking the place of God? Is yoga taking the place of God? These things that I'm posing and worshiping, like, you know, like I go to this for peace of mind. Like, a lot of people do yoga for peace. Like, you know, so instead of just knowing that God gives you peace that surpasses all understanding, I now say I have to do yoga to get peace.
Yes.
I now say I have to have a zodiac sign to know my identity. I now say I got to go to a psychic to know what the Lord is saying, what my future is, instead of going to the Lord about, God, what is it that you have in store for me? These things become idols when you think it's not that deep.
Yeah.
And I think that's the issue. That's the issue with people. Stop saying that it's not that deep. It is. Everything is that deep.
Everything is that deep, and everything is spiritual. So one way I think that it is mixing, we see a lot of mixing in the church body, is people that come out of the world and were doing certain things and then come into Christianity and think that they can still hold on to that stuff, right? So you were doing horoscopes and a part of astrology and practicing astrology, and then you came to Jesus and you don't see anything wrong with it, and you say, okay, well, in the Bible they look to the stars for times and seasons, so why is this demonic? Why is this wrong? And really, now we're cherry picking and taking things out of context. Because I think if you look in context, it's like, well, you know, the Bible speaks to the stars and those things, like speaking, pointing back to the glory of God.
Right.
When astrology is pointing back to you and things about you and everything about you. I really believe that that is something that is dangerous when we try to cherry pick out of the Bible and to justify certain things that we want to do. Right.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people say that astrology is written in the Bible. I know. And it's just not what astrology has become is not why God created the stars.
Yeah.
And they're not okay to find your identity in.
Right.
And to look to, for that stuff. So I think it's that. And then a lot of also with crystals, right? You have crystals that supposed to represent different things. If you need peace, energy, if you need cleansing, I don't really know all the terms, but people try to use the Bible to justify that. And I think we had talked about that earlier.
Yeah, about Aaron and how Aaron had crystals. I can't remember the exact scripture, but I've heard people try to justify crystals through Aaron having access to certain crystals or whatever case may be.
Right.
And the issue with that is that you take that stuff out of context, like you said earlier, and it's a thing where you say, okay, cool. I see this in the Bible. What's wrong with it?
Yeah.
When what becomes wrong with it is when you use it for the wrong thing. Aaron wasn't using crystals for good energy.
Yes.
Like, he wasn't using this for clarity and peace of mind.
Yeah.
These were things that were created by God that he wore in a moment's time. But he didn't worship these things. He didn't make these things idols. He didn't say, I can't do this without my crystals. Like, you know, and I think that what we do in the world a lot is that we try to take the things of the word, take the things in the Bible and try to use them for purposes that they were not meant for. Like, you know, so even with like sacrifices and like, you know, like incense and burnings and things of that nature, like burnt offerings. Now you would use that same scripture to justify saging and justify smudging and stuff like that. It's like, they're not the same.
Yeah.
It may have some of the same, like, you know, like characteristics about say, but that doesn't make them the same. And I think that's our problem. It's the ignorance of thinking that we can use what God made for something else. And like I said, that's where it becomes idols. I about to say the Bible speaks in Exodus 32, very familiar scripture that we all know, where he gave the children of Israel gold. And then in giving them gold, they turned that thing into a golden calf and began to worship it. And then the very interesting thing that happened in that scripture is that Aaron says to the people, he says, all right, y'all, I see that y'all love this. So we're going to have a festival for the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. Mm-hmm. And then God said, I'm going to kill them. He literally tells Moses, I'm about to wipe them all out.
Yeah.
And what that showed me is that everything that's done for God is not pleasing to God.
Right.
Stop thinking that because this thing is in the Bible, because God gave you this thing, that you can now use this for whatever purpose you have in mind.
Right. Because the enemy is going to pervert, you know, God's creation.
Every time.
And how we interact with certain things. And I think, again, to your point, we can't take things of the world and sprinkle Jesus on it and think that it's okay. I have even heard of, I want to say they call them angel cards, but it's almost as if they tried to make Christian tarot cards. Almost. It exists.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, I've never... Explain that for me, if you can.
They try to take something that they know has like this demonic stigma and make it angelic. And so like you're not pulling from those spirits, you're pulling from Holy Spirit. And you know, it's trying to sprinkle Jesus on worldly and really occultic things. And yes, it's dangerous, but I mean, even when I think of smudging, right?
Sure.
My understanding is that you're smudging to get rid of the negative energies in a room or in a space. And my whole thing is, isn't that what prayer is supposed to do? Isn't that what we have the authority to do just by you know, standing in who we are in Christ, if you are a believer, right? And being, I think that's really the thing. It comes down to what you believe. Do you believe that God really protects you, or do you believe that you have to wear this crystal for protection?
Yeah.
Do you believe that he's able to clear out any negative spirits and any demonic spirits, or do you feel like the sage is powerful enough to do that?
Yeah.
Do you feel like he's going to give you your identity, or do you feel like you have to go to horoscopes? You know what I mean? I think that a lot of it is, it comes back down to what you believe. Because I believe, because I think if you don't believe that you can hear from God and that you actually have a relationship with him and that he'll actually speak to you, then you're going to look for your answers in astrology.
And I think that the interesting thing is that, like, you know, this is what I think it is. At the end of the day, we are more in love with the creations and not the creator.
Yes.
Like, we love what God makes. We love what he's given, but we don't love him. So this is why people can be like, the universe ain't speaking to you. The universe is not saying anything to you. The Milky Way is not speaking to you, my boy. Like, respectfully, like, God is speaking. And if you begin to mistake God for his creation, then you've really dumbed down who God is, and you've never really experienced who God is.
Right.
If you think that you can rely on some smudging thing that you can buy at 7-Eleven,
you put more faith in that than you do Jesus.
How is that even possible?
Because I think people don't really understand what they're saying they believe in when they say, okay, Lord, I accept you in my life.
Right.
Like, that's the first step. And I know that it's a journey, but I think that maybe even we see this in a lot of babes in Christ or people that's new to the faith, where it's just like, I'm still learning all that comes with this walk.
Sure.
The authority that we have, all this. So you think that you can take a little bit of this and a little bit of this, because that's what New Age is about, right? There's no one way. So you can pick a little bit from Hinduism and pick a little bit from, you know, all these other things to make up your truth when there's only the truth,
right?
And hold on. 1 Corinthians 10:21 says, you cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons too. You cannot eat at the Lord's table and at the table of demons too. They don't mix. You have to choose.
You got to. And God looks at that stuff as demonic.
Yes.
Like, let's not try to group things in with God and with Holy Spirit and with heavenly hosts. No, this thing is of the devil.
Because it's a form of divination. You're pulling from other sources to get certain answers. You're putting your faith in something other than Christ, which is like, okay, well, what is that thing?
And God is a jealous God. So a lot of times what God is doing, like, he's like, all right, cool. There's this one scripture in Judges, and I know it's like, it's somewhere in Judges. I don't know exactly where it is. But what God says to the children of Israel, are at this point where they are, like, if anybody's ever read the book of Judges is about cycles. It's about God delivering you from something and then you getting right back into the thing that he just delivered you out of. Mm. I'm about to say, this is us on the daily basis. Like, and what ends up happening is at one point in time, they go to God and say, God, please rescue us. Like, save us from our oppressors. And then God says, I'm not rescuing you anymore. Go to your idols that you created. Go to Baal to help you out. Go to the thing that you created that you have placed in place of me.
Yeah.
And ask that thing for help.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you start messing with New Age stuff. God says, oh, you rely on that more than me? Then let that thing save you.
And not even that. You're opening doors spiritually that you don't even recognize that you're opening yourself up to, right?
Yeah.
When you start trying to open up your chakras, when you are doing all of these things, you are opening yourself up to demonic influence.
Yeah.
And again, even when you're talking about yoga, you are yoking yourself to certain deities, certain spirits, and you're inviting them to inhabit your, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so I just think that, or at least, you know, oppress you in certain ways. And so because you have so many open doors, deliverance at some point definitely needs to take place once you realize what it is and you're trying to come out of it.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what doors you were opening. you know, even in just being curious in certain things, yeah. you know, maybe you're curious to see what tarot cards are really about or a palm reading is really about and different things like that.
You know what I think it is? And I would love to hear your opinion on this. Do you think it's because people really don't take the spirit realm seriously? Like, do you think that people just don't think the spirit realm really exists like that? Or is just a after death thing? Like, when I die, I'm going to experience the spirit realm, as if you don't experience the spirit realm on the day to day.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know if people do. If we're talking about the church specifically, I'd like to believe that we believe in a spirit realm.
Right, right.
As Christians, I think that we know that there is other powers at play here. In general, maybe it's a, if I can't see it, feel it, touch it, it doesn't exist type of thing.
Sure.
I know if we, I don't want to change the conversation into like New Age completely, because New Age in the church and people who practice New Age is a little bit different.
Sure.
Because now you start getting into a mindset of where, like, I am my own God. And a lot of people get into New Age because it's a lot of self-help. Like, I'm trying to heal myself, and so I have to do these different things to evoke healing in my life and things like that. And so
yeah.
I think that it could, it turns into a lot of I'm my own God. I'm my own savior. You know, if something's going wrong, it's my fault. But I'm also the solution type of thing.
Wow,
so
yeah.
again, maybe they don't really recognize that there are other things. But then again, you have people who go to psychic mediums and who mess with Ouija boards and all those things. And I think that they know that they're talking to spirits. So
yeah.
I think that people generally know that there's a spirit realm.
Yeah, I guess it's just so all about your submission. Like, you know, like, if you're not submitted to God, then I guess whatever you open yourself up to spiritually doesn't necessarily
pop up
as a red flag, because it's like, I'm not worshiping God. When we're talking about, like, the overall New Age.
Well, and yes, and in the Bible, it says that the enemy masquerades as an angel of light, right?
Yes.
And so he's not going to come always as this scary thing. I know that there's a lot of people in the church and out of the church who think it's okay to talk to spirit guides, right?
Mm.
And they originally will come to you as a helpful guide. Like, you know what I mean? I go to them when I have questions on what I should do, which way to go, different things like
yeah.
that. But as soon as people like really lock in, and there's so many stories where it's like they give their life to Jesus, those demons start manifesting and show you that, you know, the demons that they really are.
I'm not what you thought I was.
I'm not what you thought I was, but I came to you as this angel of light.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
so I think that that's another part of the deception of why people think it's okay to have this and that. But again, it goes back to, is Jesus enough, right? Is
yeah.
what you believe enough? Do you believe that you can commune with the Holy Spirit, or do you believe that you still need to seek guidance from these spirit guides?
First and foremost, when we look at these things, psychics are real.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they're just prophets masked in, I'm a psychic. About to say, like, God has given you the gift because God gives gifts without repentance.
Mm-hmm.
So what ends up happening is, again, we pervert the creation in which God has given us and turn it into something that is going to be self-help, that's going to be self-exalting.
Self-serving,
that's going to be self-gratifying.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And what ends up happening is, we look and say, hey, I'm getting the same results from somebody that I paid $12 to down the street for a fortune that I would get from a church. And I think what it really boils down to is, what do you want to do? I think a lot of people just don't want God.
I think they do, because again, we're talking about the church and how New Age spirituality has crept in, and how there's this mixture of thinking that I could have Jesus and my crystals. I could have Jesus and still check up on my horoscope. That is kind of what I think that we're seeing. And that's the part that's kind of scary, because people don't understand the implications of what you're opening yourself up to when you are dabbling with those things.
And this is why, and I'm going to find it in my paper Bible, because I want y'all to hear how God speaks, like, you know, about this stuff, because I think that is one thing coming from us, right? Like, you know, any event that, like, you know, you're just not hearing us for the first time, you're like, oh man, they never experienced it. They don't know. Like, oh, they if they just haven't try
experienced
it.
What?
Like, well, like some people may, I've never done sage. I've never done smudging. I've never done yoga. I'm about to say, so I think some
I
people
used
may.
I do yoga.
Okay, cool.
I just thought it was exercise.
Exactly. I'm about to say, and I think that what people will look at me and say, because I've never done these things, is they'll say that you don't have grounds to speak on this stuff because you've never experienced it, mm-hmm. so you wouldn't know. And I want to show y'all exactly how your Lord and Savior talks grimy about this stuff. If you look at Deuteronomy 18, and I'm going to read this thing because I really want people to hear what's listed in this thing as what you should and should not do. Start with verse 9. We're only going to go to verse 14, but stay with me. But it says, when you enter the land of the Lord, your God is giving you, be careful not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there. So, for example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering, and do not let your people practice fortune telling. Do not let them practice fortune telling or sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft or cast spells or function as mediums or psychics. These things are the things that God speaks directly against. Mm-hmm. Don't do it, right? Or call for spirits of the dead. So again, if you're talking to your grandma that's been dead for 20 years and grandma's giving you direction on what to do, that's not your grandma. that's not your grandma, my boy. That is a demon. Okay? I about to say, like, you know, like, because God says not to do it. So at the end of the day, like, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if you think that you're talking to your dead homie, you know, rest in peace to your homie. But that's what's called rest in peace. They're not resting if they're talking to you every day. I'm about to say, like, they're dead. I'm about to say, so, like, you know, it says don't do that thing. Anyone who does these detestable things to the Lord, whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. It is because other nations have done these detestable things that the Lord your God will drive them out ahead of you. But you must be blameless before the Lord your God. So when you don't partake in these things, God looks at you as blameless. And what we are hoping to get people to understand is that, hey, man, we want you to appear blameless before God. So you may think it's innocent. You may think it's cool. You may think it's not that deep. But guess what? These things are detestable. Mm-hmm. God hates them. God does not like it. You are serving two masters. Yes. It is like dating two people.
Yeah.
God is not trying to be in a relationship with you and your side piece.
Mm-hmm.
Like, y'all have made these things a part of you, and God is saying, no, that's not how I created you to be.
Right.
All the things, and this is what the flex is for God, right? All the things that these things offer, God says, I offer too.
And that's why it's like, what do you really believe? Do you know, what is afforded to you as a believer?
Yeah.
The peace and the joy and things like that. I know I'll just say somebody close to me, who has known Jesus all their life and is a professing Christian, goes to church and everything, was talking to one of his friends who has an African background.
Okay.
And the friend was telling him, you know, how he can clean his aura and cleanse his energy by taking a bath in ammonia and burning this white candle. Ammonia. And I'm like, so you're doing rituals now? Like, that's a whole ritual.
A whole seance.
Yeah. And it just didn't dawn on him. And so that's what kind of makes me think, like, what are we opening ourselves up to just out of ignorance?
Yeah.
And searching for something that is already afforded to you in Christ.
And that's the point.
That is the point.
I'm about to say, like, you know, like, you bought all that ammonia to sit in. I'm about to say, like, you know, when really all you had to do was spend 5 minutes in prayer.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, it's Satan is trying to give you instant gratification. So sometimes the things of God take time.
Yeah.
Sometimes the things of God take discipline.
And I think that's what we don't like.
And that's why we will stray away from the things of God, because it's easier to do it this way.
I just want to look up in the morning and know what my day is versus sitting at his feet in the morning.
The zodiac sign tells me exactly who I am. I'm about to say, I don't have to spend time in prayer and searching the word to find... What? Like, so, like, spend time with God.
Yeah.
He will tell you these things. I'm about to say, like, you know, every time you go down there, you're doing that downward dog. Like, you know, like, you are worshiping another God, and that's how God sees it.
Yeah.
And I think that we just have to begin to open our eyes to God. How do you see this thing? How do you see this practice?
Yeah.
How do you see this activity? And going back to
the... And how does this glorify you?
Right. And going back to the church, and again, this is not to harp on us, but I think that we have the responsibility to live a lifestyle that is the example. This is why he says he's the way, the truth, the life. The way means he's the example. I want to do things the way that Jesus did them, not the way that my previous predecessors did them,
mm-hmm.
not the way that my ancestors did them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to say, I think that a lot of times what we don't realize our idols are really just, what's the word I'm looking for? They're traditions.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And these traditions are really rituals.
Yeah.
So we do these traditions every year where we do this tradition, every time where we do that. It's like, okay, cool. These are traditions that your people did, but God is calling you from up under that thing.
Yeah, I think we really just have to be able to look at our culture and what's embedded in our culture and what's actually kingdom culture.
So what would be your approach for somebody that has partook in these things?
Come out.
Like, you know, like, what would be your suggestion for them, for the ones that have partaken in it or are currently partaking in it? Like, how do you come from up under that thing? What is the process like? Like, what would you want them to know?
I would just ask them, is Jesus enough? Do you believe that Jesus is enough? Do you believe that he's a protector? Do you believe that he is your source of peace? Do you believe that he can provide everything that you need? And I think once you come to that answer, then you can go ahead and confess what you've been dabbling in, get rid of all the crystals, whatever thing that you might have had, or all the books.
So you can't keep it.
No, you got to get that out your house, because again, you got stuff that can... Yeah, open yourself up to certain things. And so definitely get rid of all those things. And then, honestly, I would seek deliverance. It doesn't hurt. You know what I mean?
Not at all.
Whether you feel like you have something to get rid of or not, especially if you're doing yoga and things like that, I would definitely seek out deliverance.
And to go back to the whole, because I want to speak into that deliverance aspect, but to go back to the just getting rid of things. My Bible says that when Paul was preaching in their temples, there's this moment in time where he convinced the people that what they were doing was wrong. Because sometimes it takes that. Mm-hmm. Like there's grace for people that are in the church. There are grace for people that are not in the church.
Oh, yes.
To understand that it takes time to come from up under what you were once in.
Acts 19:19. A number of them have been practicing sorcery, brought their incantation books, and burned them at the public bonfire.
Mm.
The value of the books was several million dollars.
Several million. Which means to me that what you are letting go of does have value. I think that what we aren't teaching enough is to let you know that, hey, man, like, these things are worth something. And we understand that. Because you will begin to deem the thing that you cultivated, the thing that you spent time with, as valuable.
Yes.
So it's a hard detachment. And I think the reason why people don't want to detach from it, because they've invested their entire life into this thing.
I bet them crystals are expensive.
I bet
them astrology books be expensive.
You taking yoga classes every 3 days?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's expensive. I'm about to say, like, you know, you've made a lifestyle out of it so much to the point where it's become your identity. Like, it's like, I don't know what my life will be like without this thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what my life will be like without this book. I don't want to let go of this book. I don't want to let go of this practice because I spent so much time with it. God is saying, I know that it's valuable to you, but this thing means nothing to me. And if you love me the way that you say you do, if you're convinced that I'm your Lord and Savior the way that you say you do, let that valuable thing go.
And don't listen to the world when they try to make it not that deep, right?
Right.
I remember at my last job, they were doing a what do you call the thing when it's just like a team building
okay.
thing where they were going to do hot yoga in like the middle of the day.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And I mean, who don't want to leave work in the middle of the day to go do some team building stuff? Like,
sure.
I wanted to go, but.
Right. Convictions.
I wasn't about to. No, I really don't fool with yoga. Mm. But to have everybody continue to be like, hey, you come in? Why not? Why not? And having to continue to explain why I'm not doing yoga. Against, you know, it being a team building thing. And so now I look like maybe I'm not bought in or whatever. But that could be hard.
And
it could
be
tough
bold.
Having those conversations over and over and having people look at you crazy when it is seen as just exercise.
Right.
And it's not that deep.
Yeah.
Things
and
like
this
that.
Is why I think you got to be bold, because I think that when you really begin to understand who God is, mm-hmm. like, you know, what ends up happening is, like, you know, the Bible says that, like, you know, when the Holy Spirit filled them, the Holy Spirit came with boldness. It gave the people boldness. So you got to be able to have that boldness and say, hey, man, this ain't it. The same way that you had that boldness to invite everybody to it, it's like when your eyes are open to the truth, I want to have that boldness and say, hey, man, this is not good. We shouldn't be doing this. This is why. And whether you look at me strange or not, whether I'm the party pooper or not, I have peace knowing that I didn't partake in something that was going to be detrimental to my soul.
And my walk with Christ, yeah.
Right. And that's where we just got to get people to understand that this stuff is cancerous. Even like, you know, going back to the Zodiac stuff, because we're going to get back to the deliverance thing in a second. Mm. But going back to the Zodiac stuff where we found our identities in Zodiacs. I believe it was you that told me that, like, you know, when you associate yourself with a Zodiac sign, these Zodiac signs also have like sickness labels that are attached to them as well.
Certain diseases.
Right.
Yeah, so are attached to each sign, but that's not what's publicized.
Of course not. Because why would
tell you all the good stuff and what your character traits are, and it's not hard to find out.
Yeah.
But that's not what people are saying. But each one has a disease that's associated with it. And it's just interesting because when you come into agreement with that identity, you're taking on all that comes with it.
Yeah. And I think the problem is, again, is where we really try to act as if these things, and I'm going to say this a million times, that it's not that deep. The same way that y'all will Google the Bible and say that, oh, this is not true, or the Bible is written by man, and all these things that y'all go through, all the extra steps that you go through to disqualify the Bible, I would ask y'all to do the same thing with these practices. Look up every nook and cranny of information on these things and tell me that you're okay with associating yourself with something that's so detrimental. Again, one of the Zodiac signs is a Cancer. Why are you calling yourself a Cancer? You're literally, like, I don't know any good Cancer. like, you know, so, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, you're speaking death over yourself every day simply by associating yourself with something that the world thinks is okay, that the world thinks is cool. You guys are blindfolded walking into a lake of fire thinking that it's normal.
Yeah.
It's not, guys.
If we're not supposed to be serving two gods, I think it's a lot of people who are not gonna make it.
That's tough.
And I think that they think they are.
That's tough.
Because the world makes everything seem like you can mix.
That's tough, yeah.
When the Bible says, choose ye this day who you gonna serve. That's you can't have both.
Joshua. And I think that the and this is my sincere heart, because I think my heart breaks when I hear stuff like that, because people really do perish for lack of knowledge of who God is.
Come on.
And when I look at how God deals with these things, these practices that you're partaking in have become idols. And I know that it sounds like we're repeating ourselves.
When you're not willing to give when you try to justify them. To keep them around.
Right.
I feel like some things you do just out of ignorance.
Sure.
But I think it becomes an idol when it's like hard for you to give up.
Sure.
You try to justify it. There's nothing wrong with this. You know, I don't find my identity in this. Like, because I could already hear those things now where it's just like people think that they're above it or the exception. And when I do yoga, I'm not doing it to worship demons. Yeah. And it's like, there's no separation, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But it is. I've heard that so many times.
Same.
That's not why I do yoga. I'm not doing it. It's like, well, that's why it was created.
Right.
And just because it's made it to the Western world and we try to slap something else over it, it doesn't mean that that's not what you're doing.
Like, imagine somebody coming to church saying, oh, I go to church, like, you know, but I'm not there to worship God. I'm not there to, I'm not there to just love on Jesus. I'm there because I like the music. Like, it's like, no, you're there, like, you know, and this is a public declaration.
That could be, but
I mean, yeah, for sure. I'm about to say, but I think that, like, you know, the public declaration that you're making when you are going to a church and participating in the services and reading the Bible is that you are trying to get your life together to be a Christian. You're trying to follow the teachings of Christ. You're trying to, like, you know, this God is worth worshiping. He's worth following.
Yeah.
Like, that's what your actions display.
Yeah.
So if the Bible says that you will know them by their fruit, the question just becomes, what fruit are you displaying? And again, God looks at you doing yoga, even though you may look at it as nothing wrong. He looks at that as fruit.
Yeah.
And
again, you can stretch without yoga.
I can go to a sauna and stretch and not call
it
hot yoga.
They have stretch classes. Like, exactly. If it's really about stretching.
I think when you participate in the yoga activity, mm-hmm. like, I'm going to a yoga class, I'm being around other people that are doing yoga.
Because,
like,
a lot of time there's chanting that goes along with it.
The little bowl that they taking the little stick in.
Yeah.
Like, and you call this peace.
And everything. Yeah.
Like, I'm careful even when I go get a massage. Like, what music we playing? Like, don't play this... Like, because, like, you know, sometimes, like, you know, like, even that stuff that we think, again, is not that deep, is like, no.
Oh, no,
like,
yeah, there is something is. To a certain type of music. I feel, what's the name of that type of music? And people go to sleep to it, but it might be meditation music.
It's like, it has the meditation music feel, but I think there's a name for it. I don't know.
It is.
But while you look for that, I'm about to say, this is, again, where my heart kind of breaks, is when people are really ignorant to what's going on. Look in your Bible at how God deals with idols. The same way that God deals with them is how I would suggest that we all start dealing with our idols. Deal with your idols aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
Deal with these things as if they are detrimental to your soul, because they are. Every time I see an idol in scripture, the thing that's followed up with it is God saying, destroy it, dismantle it, get rid of it, burn it to the ground. Like, don't allow that thing to exist. When we see Elijah, and he's on the mountain, and he said, yo, you call out to your God, I'm going to call out to my God. And when they call out to Baal, he literally destroyed and said, hey, we're killing every last one of these people. And that's not to be like, oh, we're about to kill y'all. That's not what I'm saying. But the principle is, anything that is attached to something that's demonic must go.
Right.
Because if that thing survives... if that thing lives, it is going to cripple a generation of people.
I think part of that is actually realizing that something is demonic. Because I think that that's half the battle. Like, half the time, I don't think that a lot of Christians are going after things that are demonic willingly.
I agree.
I think it's again, wrapped up in deception. And so you don't really know. Hopefully after this podcast, there'll be no excuses.
Don't be fooled by that angel of light.
Right.
Because it's light. It looks good. I mean, Lucifer was a beautiful angel. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, we're not going to sit here and act as if it doesn't appear to be good. This is why I'm never going to beat somebody up for saying that, like, oh, it's not that bad. Because it does appear to not be that bad.
And to maybe even be helpful in certain circumstances.
And it may even provide help. It's not even so much that it may be. Sometimes it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes this thing does help you. And I'm here to propose another option.
Yeah.
I'm here to propose a better option. Satan is really good at proposing things that say, hey, this is good for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But what he doesn't tell you in the full contract is that, but this is going to lead you to hell. God says, hey, this is going to come with some long suffering, but this is going to be beneficial to you in the future.
Yeah.
And I think that we have to begin to embrace the things of God and stop looking for this cheap, convenient way out. So going back to, again, the deliverance aspect, when we are trying to come from up under these things, and we're talking to people that are of the church in particular, and anybody else that listens to this pod, but especially those that are in the church, you have to detach yourself from that thing and seek deliverance. And don't think as if because you have a title, don't think because you are an important figure, don't think because you've been saved your whole life that you don't have to go to the altar, mm-hmm. that you don't have to be delivered. I think the greatest deception is Satan saying, oh, you're bigger than that. Oh, you ain't got to do that. It don't take all that. You're good. What would this person think about you? You just sung 7 songs. Yeah. You led the choir in this. You were the lead deacon. You're this, that, and the third.
Because a lot of those spirits will lay dormant. Yeah. As long as they have a place to, you know, hide out, they won't even manifest. Like, you won't even know or recognize that they're there. Like I said, those spirit guys don't start showing their true colors until you start, you know, and coming out of that deception.
And even when they come back, the Bible said they come back with seven more stronger.
Listen.
Than what was previously there. So just because it's remaining dormant, don't think that it can't rear its head again. This is why community is important. Mm-hmm. Get around some people that believe what you believe and knowing that these things are wrong, and find some healthy practices My Bible says in Galatians 5, and again, like, you know, I feel like as of late, we've been like just throwing scriptures at you guys. But again, hearing is what is going to change you. Hearing the word of God, that's how faith comes, right? Yeah. So the Bible says in Galatians 5 that, like, you know, he gives you desires so that way you don't carry out your sinful nature. Mm-hmm. It's natural to do sinful things. It's natural to find identity in things that aren't of God. And God says, now I'm trying to give you desires. So get around some people that understand that there are some desires that we can replace these sinful nature acts with.
Find a different exercise class.
Right. That's it. It's simple. Like, I know what? Instead of doing hot yoga, I'm just going to go to LA Fitness with my girls, and I'm going to work out over there, and then we're going to stretch together. Right. And we're going to read scripture while we do it. Like, you know, like, what's wrong with that? Like, you know, the same way that we can justify all these other things as, oh, this is just stretch. Use your Bible the same way and start incorporating healthy practices, and incorporating a healthy circle around you, and incorporating healthy thought processes so you don't fall victim to the same thing more than once when it comes back stronger.
Yes.
Because that's the issue that I think that we miss, is that we think that once we detach from it one time, once we've had that epiphany, we ain't gonna worry about this no more. The devil's a liar. He will find a way to bring it back to you and disguise it as something that else. Is not.
Yes.
And then next thing you know, you're right back into doing the same things.
I know somebody close to me brought up grounding, which is another thing that it's really rooted in witchcraft.
Yeah.
But again, it sounds good. Like, you know, we have certain energies. So when we go outside and it's, you know, that's how it's supposed to be and all that stuff, it sounds really good. I just think that there's so much deception going on that you really have to stay vigilant.
Yeah.
And be Holy Spirit led and ask for discernment when it comes to certain things where it's just like, okay, well, where is this coming from? Like, what is it rooted in? And is it something that I need to be practicing?
And I even started seeing, which you'll probably laugh at this, and I don't mean to laugh in anybody's face and be disrespectful, but the airbending thing that's going on now, where people really, come on, man, y'all are moving foil. Like with the wind, and listen, y'all think that this is, I got telekinetic powers, and like, you know, like, oh, you got to do this type of meditation. You got to, like, you know, invoke this chakra in you in order for this thing to happen. And then they go outside and they're using the wind that God created.
Yeah.
And the wind that God is blowing, and you think you moving your hands is what's causing this tree to move, these waves to move. It's like, don't be deceived.
I think a lot of it is rooted in also like a lack of identity in who you are in Christ.
That's a big one.
Because then now you're trying to open up your third eye and become enlightened. Yeah. Who doesn't want to be enlightened? But that's to say that you already see yourself as deficient in a certain area.
Yeah.
So now you have to reach this certain other height, right?
Right.
Now you, or like, I am a God, you know, I'm made in God's yeah. image. So that means that I am a God as well.
Again, the Bible says that
and
we
I see
are
a lot
gods.
Of that talk in the church, yeah. amongst the church body, where it's just like, let's
we
read
take stuff out
in
of context.
Context.
Yeah.
And so, again, I think that when you don't really know who you are in Christ, yeah. you cling, it's easy to cling to all these other things that will give you identity, that will give you a sense of power, that will give you a sense of peace, where it's like, I can take peace into my own hands.
Yeah.
I can cleanse out my own room on my own yeah. terms. It's saying, it's taking Holy Spirit and Jesus out of the equation completely.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
And this is why I said you got to find your community of people, because mm-hmm. there is a community out there waiting to embrace you,
mm-hmm.
to say, oh, you're one of us. Like, you know, oh, you're an outcast. Oh, you're really just an airbender. Like, you know, like, it's like,
no,
I'm,
really,
like,
yeah.
I wonder, like, who hasn't told you guys who you are? Because that's the only way that you find identity in moving foil.
Yeah.
Like, it's the only way that you find identity in your chakras. It's the only way that you find identity in, like, you know, I gotta go to a psychic to tell them who, for them to tell me who I am. It's really because God hasn't, you haven't put yourself in an environment in which God can speak to you and tell you who you are.
And that's it right there.
Like, to my brother and sister who is partaking in any of these things, you're bigger than that. Your identity is better than that. God has a perfect plan for your life. He knew you. Your purpose is older than your age.
You're part of a royal priesthood.
You are royalty.
Like, you don't, you
like
know?
Like, God is your kinfolk.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you are a descendant of Jesus.
You
like,
have access to him. Like,
all things were created through Christ. And you are one of those creations, which means that you are this, like, you are a part of him. You yeah. don't have to find identity in the things of this world, the things that are meant to stifle you and cripple you.
You don't have to find power in the things that God created, because power is already afforded to you.
It's been given to you. Because guess what? Jesus rose with all power. So there is no power that's not afforded to him.
Yeah.
And if your best friend is Jesus and he has all power, what else do you need?
Come on.
There's nothing else that I need. There's nobody else that I need.
Yeah.
So I pray that when you guys hear this, I pray that you guys hear your identity is in Christ. It's not in the things of this world.
And I really hope, like, churches maybe even start to address this too, because there's a lot of people who just don't know.
Yeah.
They have questions. Maybe they have dreams, you know, or certain prophetic gifts where it's just like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
You know, nobody has explained it to them. So I go to Google, and Google will tell you, oh.
Google will tell you everything.
You know, you can talk to spirits. Oh, you, this means that, you know what I mean? Like, the world will always have an answer for you. And so, yeah, maybe we need to start making that more of a conversation amongst the church body.
Absolutely. And that means starting that if
with
we
this one.
And that means that if we're going to talk about this to people, that means that we can't dabble in it.
Yeah.
We cannot dabble in the things that we are trying to deliver people from.
Right.
You must begin to live a life that is sanctified.
Set apart.
Where I can't deliver you from the thing that I'm partaking in. I can't preach against the thing that I'm partaking in.
Yeah. So.
So, yeah. And that's a note to the church. I love the church. I'm a part of the church. I am the church. I'm about to say I am a part of the ecclesia. So I hold myself to the same standard. And if I got to do it, you got to do it.
Yeah. Life is better on the other side anyways.
Much better.
Yeah.
So yeah, man. So thank y'all again, man, for watching. Here's the thing. Hope that y'all heard something that was fine tuning to your ear. Hope you are delivered.
Yeah.
DM us if you have any questions, man. I think her DMs are open. My DMs are open, man. We are open to you guys for any type of information, revelation. We will pray with you.
Questions.
We want to make sure that you are set free. This is not something that you hear and we're just going to be like, hey, man, just stay in what you're staying in. But we want to make sure that you are delivered from whatever it is that you may be partaking in. So,
amen.
We love you. And until next time.
Bye.